Hello, I'm Timothy Beckworth. I'm speaking with Professor Roberto Suro. He's a professor here at the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism and the former director of the Pew Hispanic Center. With the census in full swing, we sat down to talk about the changing demographics of America.
I wanted to take a look at how America, specifically South LA and Los Angeles, has changed over the last 20, 30 years. Obviously, one of the biggest things is Latino immigration. Could you tell me a little bit about what time period that started changing the face of America?
There's been some Latinos of different kinds living in the United States basically forever. And in California, there's a Mexican presence that is obviously older than the American presence here. But the recent wave of migration really got started in the late 1960s. It's sometimes dated to the passage of a new Immigration Act in 1965. But it started slowly starting in the 1970s. If you think back, in 1970, there were less than a million Mexican immigrants living in the United States, really about 750,000. This is a migration that started gathering momentum in the 1980s. By 1990, there were about 4.5 million Mexican immigrants living in the United States, and then it surged in the 1990s, and quite notably in California. The actual flows peaked at the early part of this decade, probably in 2000, 2001. And since then, it's been kind of an up and down flow, very much in response to business cycles in the U.S. But we're now at close to about 12 million Mexican immigrants living in the United States. That's more than 10% of the whole population of Mexico. And the largest concentration of them is in Southern California.
Is that the largest minority group in America now?
Latinos are, not just Mexican immigrants. Right. But Latinos, if you count all Latinos together, both native and foreign-born, it's the largest non-white group in the United States. California in the Los Angeles area is interesting in particular because the migration got started here a little bit earlier and reached its peaks here earlier. And it's a more mature population, meaning that you have more people who are settled, who have U.S.-born children, who owned their houses or at least had bought houses during the past decade or so. It's a somewhat more, there's more of a population of people who are citizens or legal residents than you find in some of the newer settlement areas like in the Intermountain West or in the Southeast. And the California Latino population has been growing more through natural increase, meaning births here rather than immigration already for some time. It's a little bit ahead of the rest of the country in terms of its settlement patterns and has been receiving, there's still lots of immigrants who arrive here, but not, it's not as big an impact in Southern California as in some of the areas that very recently started receiving immigrants.
How much of that immigration is legal and how much of it is illegal? Or is there any way to know?
It's difficult to estimate. I mean, in overall, if you look at Hispanic immigration overall, it's probably something less than 40% of the total Hispanic foreign-born population is illegal. It's probably about half of the Mexican foreign-born population. During the peak years of flows, when the economy has been very hot, the undocumented part of the flow from Mexico has perhaps reached as much as 80% of the total. One of the things we've seen in this downturn and in previous downturns is that the illegal flow drops off first when the economy in the U.S. sours. It's a pure labor migration for the most part, and is very sensitive to the economy here. So now, in the last couple of years, with high unemployment rates in the U.S., illegal flow has been a smaller portion of the overall number of people coming. And we have more family reunification, more people coming with legal visas. It's a little bit easier to manage here, obviously, if you're legal.
Now, you talked about there was a big surge in the last couple of years. Has that died down because of the recession?
Yeah, I mean, the flow from Mexico has dropped by about half of what it was in 2005. Which was one of the last peak years when, and then it was very much driven by home construction. And that industry was really the first to fall off during the current recession. As good an estimates as we've got, and it's difficult to measure year to year, is that the number of immigrants coming from Mexico is about half of what it was. That's probably true as well for most of the Hispanic flow, particularly to California from Central America, and that's all a factor of unemployment here.
It's pretty common when there's a big immigration from a particular nation throughout America's history that they receive some sort of violence. Sometimes there's racism. Do you think the Latino immigration has had that sort of problems? I mean, especially in communities like South LA, where traditionally African American have been almost completely transformed to a totally different makeup. Yeah. Has there been those kind of problems?
I mean, compared to previous eras of immigration when there has been very, very striking negative reaction that has often involved violence, certainly has involved efforts to restrict the number of people coming into the country. You'd have to say that the negative reaction to Hispanic immigration has been less than you might have expected, given the size of the migration, how profound a change it's brought about throughout the United States, but particularly in places like California.
What do you think that is? Are Americans getting more accepting, or is there something else behind it?
I think in general, it's a more tolerant society than it was 100 years ago, for sure. I mean, this is a migration that took place after the Civil Rights era. There were a great many more protections in place against discrimination. It occurred after the country had gone through a mythologizing of immigration to a certain extent. And so that's not to say that there aren't people who are upset or that there are people who are opposed to the current flows of immigration. It's not to say that a majority of Americans favor reductions in illegal immigration in particular. But overall, we really haven't, it's not been a major factor in any presidential election so far. It's really not been an ongoing source of political dispute. It's one of these issues that comes to center stage periodically, but I'd say given the size of the event, the counter reaction, to my mind, it's not been disproportionate or huge. In South LA, there's been a lot of violence among young people, for sure. And there's been friction in the schools, there's been friction among gangs, there's been political rivalry at times. But we haven't seen wholesale rejection of this new population. And in fact, a very dramatic transformation took place largely peacefully. I mean, there's been criminal violence between blacks and Latinos, but even at that, most gang killings are among individuals of the same racial or ethnic group.
I remember I took a class about South LA, and we covered Latino versus African-American violence, and mm-hmm. I remember just being sort of underwhelmed and seeing nothing outside of the gang lifestyle that sort of indicated that. It seemed like it was sort of overblown.
Yeah, I mean, it really hasn't spilled over into the general population. And you have to go back to the Rodney King riots in 1992 to find sort of large-scale violence in that community anyway. And even there wasn't... You had blacks and Latinos both involved in that episode of violence, but not necessarily primarily against each other. And since then, as you noted, there's steady gang violence, but it's not really become generalized in some way.
Recently, I think we've all been hearing and reading a lot about the Tea Party, which is, you know, the right-wing conservative movement. It's virtually 100% white, and it seems to have some sort of racial overtones with, you know, take back our country and those sort of slogans. Do you think any of that is a backlash against, you know, these changing demographics in America that sees white Christian males less enfranchised?
There are a lot of people in this country of all races and ethnicities and ages who are still processing the fact that the basic racial makeup of this country has changed. The reaction is clearly most pronounced among older whites who are Christians, older whites who are Christian evangelicals, and if you add older whites who are Christian evangelicals and have less than a college education, you find that is the group that most consistently over now going back over 10 years has had the most, in public opinion polls, has the most negative reactions to immigration, is most likely to call for restrictive measures, most likely to see damage to society, most likely to be critical of immigrants. But they're a population that I think is still very much contending with the fact that this country has gone from being 80% white 25 years ago to a country that will be in which half of the children born this year are likely to be non-white. It's a very sudden change in something that seemed very permanent. And I think there's the response to that is being seen in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways is in hostile sentiments towards immigrants, particularly illegal immigrants. I mean, it's important to underscore, though, that illegal immigration has, there has been a part of the population that's been upset about illegal immigration for a long time, and upset that the federal government has not addressed it. And this goes back really 30 years or more, that Washington has tried to address this problem repeatedly since the 1980s to come up with some kind of immigration policy that produces a flow of migrants that supplies the labor force and meets other goals, but does it primarily through a legal flow, and it's failed. It's since 1993 that we've had a crackdown on the border. There have been repeated measures, and to a certain extent, this is all wrapped up in a lack of confidence in the government as well, which is something else you see very much in the Tea Party movement, in the more conservative wings of the Republican Party, in a lot of other areas of politics. There's a skepticism about government, and immigration policy is one of those areas where failure of government to produce its stated aims is you see it in the streets. I mean, it's quite visible in a way that riles people up.
I remember it being a bigger issue maybe before the recession around the last election, but then it sort of died down. I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been more action on this. This might be kind of a naive question, but wouldn't certain political leaders have a lot to gain by enfranchising millions of illegal immigrants?
Hispanics overall have tended to vote Democratic. After the last legalization program that was enacted in 1986, a couple million or more Latinos became citizens and tended to vote overwhelmingly Democratic, many of them in California, and reacted very negatively to anti-immigrant rhetoric by the Republican Party. And so you could probably fairly assume that if you had a legalization program for 7 or 8 or 9 million people who are currently undocumented migrants, that 60-70% of them would end up voting Democratic. That's one reason why a lot of Republicans have opposed a legalization program, but I don't think it's the only reason. Having said that, immigration has not worked well as a political issue on either side of the debate for anybody going back now many years. So it's interesting that it's hard to find an example of a successful political campaign based on restrictionist positions against immigration at the national level, even at much of a statewide level. I mean, there are lots of politicians who've gotten elected where that's been part of their appeal, but there are very few who have made that the center part of their campaign and had a lot of luck. And similarly, you don't, aside from some Latino congressmen, you don't see very many political figures who've made advocacy of generous policies the centerpiece of their campaigns. I mean, one of the problems we're facing as a country is that we've gone through now a very long era of immigration that's produced a lot of population change and has had a very dramatic impact on the country, but without much of a national debate about it. We've never really had a debate where political leaders said, this is the purpose of this kind of immigration program, this is what we're trying to accomplish, let's decide what we're going to do. The American people certainly never voted to change the racial makeup of the country as dramatically as it has now changed. So it's kind of the absence of a political debate as much as anything else that I think creates the political and social framework. And the fact that people are trying to sort out the meaning of this without having gone through a long examination of the options and what their potential meaning is.
Okay, well, thank you very much for speaking with me. I really appreciate it.
Not at all.